It is my pleasure to present...
Good morning and welcome to the Carmichael Dave Show, starring Carmichael Dave, Jay Mars, and your phone calls on the Fire Wings hotline at 1-800-920-1140. Text in on the Jiffy Loop text line at 44-1140. Now, strap in and sit down.
Shoot up, bomb, man!
Here's Carmichael Dave.
Final hour. Thank you for joining us. 1-800-920-1140. Your text line is 916-339-1140. If you're playing around in the stock market, my apologies. I feel your pain. I'm old enough to remember when Ed said the market was up at one point. Oh boy. Nope. Not anymore. If you have your questions, I already see some rolling in at 916-339-1140. That is, again, our new text line. That's why I keep saying it. Or go to YouTube /KHDK, or at least just search KHDK. If you have questions for Dr. Pan, get him in right now. We will ask him. Yeah, having a... putting out a column that says Vlade Divac was right with the Philly trade, was justified, that would probably trigger a lot of Kings fans. I do agree. I don't think we could do that. That would be right up there with, was the Ori shot good for the community? Yeah, no. That's not going to work. We should trade Tyrese Halliburton, my thoughts. Probably not going to work. Those are the clickbaitiest ones ever. Is Buddy Hield the centerpiece of the future of the Sacramento Kings? Bring back the Maloofs. Oh, there you go. Would the team be better off in Seattle? That was a good one. That's always a fun take I see on social media every once in a while when the Kings aren't doing great. They should have just moved.
That would have fixed everything.
I mean, listen, do I think that if the Kings had moved, there are overwhelming odds that had the Kings moved to Seattle, they would have been in the playoffs by now. Overwhelming odds.
Oh, different ownership group.
You would have had a different ownership group. Now, then again, Phil Jackson was going to come in and be the GM there, and he's had.
He was great in New York. How many titles did they win in his tenure? How many playoff appearances? How much wasted money? I forgot. I lost count.
The Washington football team has officially, we talked about this earlier this week, but they have officially released Alex Smith. Hey, congratulations on the comeback. You got to go, Alex. Well, it'll save him $15 million against the cap. I mean, it's always fun to beat up on Dan Snyder, but I get it. I understand that. Listen, you can't spend $15 million on a guy who's...
essentially a backup.
Yeah, that's double what the Raiders are spending on Marcus Mariota. And that's silly. So I get it, but will he come home to San Francisco as a backup? He knows Kyle Shanahan well. We'll figure that out later. Joining us right now, as he does each and every week, he's a state senator. He is also a doctor and knows just about, if not more, about vaccines, the process, and everything that goes in with it than anybody else in the entire country, which makes us very, very lucky to have him. Get your questions at 916-339-1140 because everything's rolling out. You're hearing more and more. I bet you every single person that can hear my voice right now knows either has at least one of the shots or knows somebody who's been vaccinated. At that point right now, it's like one degree of separation, and that's good news. Dr. Pan joining us. Good morning, Doc. How are you? Oop, do we have Dr. Pan? Is that me? There we go. Good morning, Doc. Yep. Sorry, how are you?
Okay, good morning.
Hey, you know, I got to ask you this, and you're, listen, you deal at a higher level, so I don't even know if this has crossed your radar, but I've been hearing from through the grapevine that there is I don't know how big it is, and I don't know enough about this, Doc, but that there's kind of this underground forming where you know how like when somebody when somebody has a really great deal on shoes, they say it fell off the back of the truck. Meaning they're stolen. I'm hearing that there's like a little underbelly group of folks that are attaining vaccines kind of on the side, like friends of doctors or whomever that this guy canceled or I'll set this up. I've been hearing more and more about this. Has that crossed your radar at all? Where they're kind of diverting vaccines to certain people that are either privileged or connected?
Well, they shouldn't be.
Of course.
They shouldn't be. But, I mean, people are trying pretty hard to get the vaccine. I mean, people are pretty ingenious, and they try all sorts of things, whether it's sharing or taking codes intended for other people, wearing disguises. I heard there's a story about some people who dressed up as, you know, dressed up as older people to try to get into a vaccine line, right? And in addition to everyone who's legitimately just like searching all over the web for and then standing in line and waiting for spare vaccines, I mean, technically, you know, that's. But you know, people are trying very hard to get the vaccines, and I guess that's a good thing on one level because that means they recognize how important the vaccine is. Same time, it's certainly a challenge. I mean, I'd love to have enough vaccine just to vaccinate everyone who wants it right now. I mean, that'd be fantastic. Unfortunately, we're not there yet, although we're heading in that direction, but it may take a few months before that happens. Yeah.
So I asked because, I'll just say it, I had an acquaintance of mine about a week ago call me with that and say, hey, listen, dude, I got a buddy. I got a buddy. He's a doc. You want to get the vaccine? And I said, thank you. I'm not going to lie. I thought about it for like 20 seconds. And then that's just bad karma. And I'm a huge believer in karma. So I was like, no, I'll wait for it. Now, so that's immoral. We agree. Don't do that. But let me ask you this. I am also seeing things pop up where you can call different places or register for cancellations and then maybe get a phone call and get the vaccine a little sooner. How do we feel about those people doing that?
Well, supposedly, let's put it this way. Supposedly, the places that are giving the vaccines should be following the priority list. And if you're, you know, if you're not being actively reached out to because you're not on the priority list, it's, you know, I guess morally you should probably not try to seek so hard, especially if you yourself can protect yourself. I mean, it's hard to say because we create policies, but then we have to count on individuals to follow rules. And if someone's really persistent, they'll eventually probably get their vaccine a little earlier. If they're just super persistent. But at the same time, we're trying to prioritize people by not only what's the benefit for the people who get it, but actually the benefit for the general population. So, for example, you know, the governor announced we're going to be trying to hold, you know, use 40% of our, you know, ongoing future vaccine supply to target the lowest quartile, the communities, the ones that have the highest risk, right? And actually that benefits not just those communities, it benefits all of us because when there's more spread in a particular community, that it doesn't stay there, right? People go to work, there are grocery store clerks, there are the janitors cleaning, et cetera. They may be doing other types of jobs, essential work, and they may be living in households that are too crowded so they can't isolate from each other if someone gets infected. So when the virus spreads, are more readily spread in those communities because people actually are less able to, because of either work or their living situation and so forth, to be able to stop the spread of the disease, then that actually increases the risk for all of us because it's not like they just stay in that particular community. They're doing essential work. And so that's why it makes sense for all of us. And I guess what I would say is that if you're invited to get the vaccine, don't feel guilty. Just go ahead and get it, right? So if you're in line and you're in that quote, go and get it, right? I don't want people to feel like, oh, you know, I'm good. But just be reasonable about how hard you try to get the vaccine, right? You know, for example, we have spare doses. I mean, if people want to wait for the spare dose at the end of the day, you know, obviously we prefer that someone get it than go to waste, right?
Right.
That kind of thing, you know, but just try not to be too ingenious in cutting the line.
Dr. Richard Penn joining us. And I guess, I mean, I think it's better to have the problem of too many people wanting it and trying to figure out how to get it than not enough that people that don't want it. Now brings me to my next question here. So the Biden administration said recently, hey, we think we're going to have enough vaccines for everybody sometime in May. Every adult sometime in May, and to get there, 400 million of either Moderna or Pfizer doses, which is, remember, twice 200 million people, everyone, plus the additional 100 million from Johnson & Johnson, 255 million adults. You do the math, that's 300 million, that's plenty. But here's what I wonder, and I'm not trying to put you on the spot, Doc, because you've got rollout, you've got people keeping their appointments, there are a lot of other factors, but If the math says that they're trying to have 300 million doses in one way or the other for 255 million adults, that's based on, correct me if I'm wrong, all the adults in the country wanting and getting the vaccination. But, you know, you go on social media, you go on Facebook, which you should never do that. You know, you've still got all the, I'm not getting it there. You know, I'll let everybody else try. You've got a more than 1% of American adults saying I'm not getting the vaccination. My long-winded question here, Doc, is don't we have a pretty decent chance of having availability for all adults that want it prior to the end of May based on those maths?
Yeah. No, I mean, I think the question is that, and people are wondering, like, and one of the things we're trying to do is we're intentionally building the pipeline larger than the supply, right?
Right.
Because what happens is the supply goes up. We don't want the constraint being, oh, we have the vaccines, but we can't get them out, right? So that's the other challenge with the shortage and people hunting around and also hearing stories in the news, oh, you know, this vaccine site doesn't have the vaccine or closing down, you know, et cetera, blah, 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 et cetera, right? And so we are trying to build out a larger pipeline. Now, you are correct, because what will happen is that eventually, probably in the next month to two, right, so it's beginning of March, so March, April, maybe by, you know, some exactly when will happen, not sure. We're essentially going to hit a point where we'll actually have more vaccines than people who want them.
Yep.
Right? Because they're going to hit the percentage of people who basically are not ready to get it right away. And the reason I say that is that what we also know is that there, so a lot, for example, there are people who have declined the vaccine the first round, not because they are like, I'm never going to get the vaccine. They want to see what happens to the people who got it, right? They're not the early adopters.
Right.
So, and then you come back around when you're doing the second doses, they're like, hey, I'm willing to sign up for my first one now. So we also have to keep in mind that, so we're going to hit this point where essentially everyone who wants it right away has gotten it, hallelujah, you know, in the next month or two. And then we're going to get to a point where now we're going to be moving at the pace in which people are willing to get it, right? And we have to, you know, work at, educate people, get people accurate information to questions they have. There are people going to look around and see, you know, who's already gotten it. And then they're like, oh, yeah, it seems like most of my family members got it. I guess it's my turn to get it. I should go ahead and get it now. So then you're going to, then the question is like, how do we be sure we continue to provide the opportunities for people to get the vaccine as people are changing their mind and now deciding to vaccinate? And in fact, one of the things that I'm working on is what I call, so I have a website, you know, Ready to Vaccinate, that gets people to commit to saying, I'm going to pledge to vaccinate. Because I think the more people see that other people are choosing to do that, then it's more likely people will. So it's great for me to go and tell everyone, you know, the vaccine's safe and effective. But for a lot of people, they're going to say, okay, well, I'm going to wait and see what happens to my friends and family who got it first, and then if they look okay, then I'm going to go ahead and get it. And so that we'll probably hit that place. Who knows? Probably, you know, a month or two.
So, and I love that, and I love. I think you and I both know, or at least have a good idea, Doc, that there's one surefire way above all to encourage those, obviously, that don't have legit medical exemptions, exemptions,
right,
but those who are available and can take them. There's one surefire way to really motivate people to vaccinate, and that is limiting access to the non-vaccinated to certain things, i.e., if we start seeing restaurants that have vaccinated only days or section, whatever, where we can put, there can be videos put out of people, you know, what seems so abnormal now, but sitting there maskless all around each other, eating their food, or a concert that only can have vaccinated folks, or a ball game, only, you know, Golden One Center opening up to only the vaccinated, perhaps at even reduced prices. I don't know. I'm sure there's incentives there. That's when you start getting people that haven't vaccinated who can, who are looking at, you know, Joe and Jane sitting third row at the Kings game or eating over at a XYZ restaurant, that's going to get that FOMO going. Is there even a realistic option, because put on your senator hat now, of any sort of something like this maybe coming to fruition?
Well, let me put it this way, All right. I think it's very important for people to understand that the reason a business or an event would do that, like a Kings game, is not because we're trying to punish people who don't want to get vaccinated, right? Because, I think I want to be very careful about this, is that we're not out there to try to punish people who don't want to get vaccinated. What we want to do is keep the venue safe.
Right.
Right? And so the thing is that if it makes sense to keep the restaurant, the game, the whatever event safer for the people who attend and the people who have to work there, then it makes sense to do so. So this should never be about, oh, well, I'm just trying to, get the people who don't vaccinate to change their minds about vaccines. That, I think, is about education. That's about being sure that people don't get exposed to misinformation, things like that. We want to be sure we answer people's legitimate questions about the vaccines. We want to be sure people are making this choice for positive reasons. But there's all I would say is that, however, there is also, and this is not to tell people they need to get vaccinated, but there is also a public interest and an interest for that business to have a safe place.
Right.
Right? Just there's a reason why, I'm not sure it's always safety when they say no shoes, no service,
right.
No shirt, no service.
Right.
But I mean, but sometimes it is, right? Because you don't wear shoes, you could injure your... Anyway, but the thing is that we should think about this as a safety thing. So if we want to have a safe ball game where people who are attending and working, and oh, by the way, we don't want it to get the players infected as well.
Sure.
Then they may say, okay, well, we expect people to be vaccinated if they're going to attend in person. Otherwise, we have a great, here's a widescreen TV. You can watch it from there. So if that's the reason, then that makes sense.
I guess for the place I'm coming from, Doc, is, and I understand you don't want to punish anybody, but you see the rhetoric on the other side. You see, hey, if you're under 50, you don't need it. It's the flu. Okay. True. I mean, am I being too simplistic by saying the quicker and larger scope of vaccinations Americans get, because we're dealing with the U.S. here, more vaccines that happen and the quicker it happens, the sooner businesses can reopen fully, the sooner schools can reopen fully, and the sooner we can go back to normal life fully. Is that too simplistic?
I think generally you're right. I mean, we can delve into a little bit of details,
sure.
But essentially, if we can get enough people vaccinated, and it looks like, I think the one little detail that they're still trying to sort out is that, for example, do the vaccines actually decrease transmission?
Right.
So there's one thing I just want to really emphasize. All three vaccines that have been approved, including Johnson & Johnson, all are equally effective in preventing hospitalizations and death. Because that should be the most important thing, right?
Sure.
If you get the vaccine, you're not going to get hospitalized or die of COVID.
Sure.
The risk is very, very, very low, right? That's the most important thing. The other part is the question is, if you got the vaccine, if you do get COVID, which is still a possibility, although much smaller with the vaccine, great, you don't get as sick from it. Can you give it to other people, right? And that question is starting to get answered. It seems like there's more data showing that actually you're less likely to transmit for the Pfizer vaccine. And that would be really helpful when you're talking about, okay, in terms of what you're talking about, if we can get a high enough percentage of people vaccinated, then there's no place for the virus to go. And yes, we can get much more back to normal. In fact, I would think, we do have these variants and stuff. I would say is that it'd be great if by the fall time, you can basically do anything you want. Just wear a mask when you're good, when you're in public places, right? When you're not at home, kind of thing. And but otherwise, kids are going to school. You go to a Kings games. You can eat at a restaurant. Yeah, you'll take off your mask when you're eating. But essentially, sort of still having mask wearing to help limit, decrease the likely spread for the remaining few people, the residual amount of virus around. But otherwise, we're in a place where we got a lot of people vaccinated. Now, the other thing to keep in mind is that we can't, it's not approved for children yet.
Right.
Right. And children are 20%, a little over 20% of the population. So that's a big chunk that still would remain unvaccinated. Hopefully we can start vaccinating teenagers by the fall, it'll be approved. But so that's why I'm saying, like, we'd probably still be good to have mask wearing because that would help decrease the spread because they're still going to have, you know, we'll still have a sizable number of people who aren't vaccinated yet just because they can't get vaccinated yet. But hopefully we can get back to a place where we can, you know, travel and go to restaurants and do all the other and go to 10 Kings games.
I love that idea. Last question for you. Mm-hmm. We hear these variants, the California mm-hmm. variant, the UK variant and yeah. all that. If a sizable amount of the population, is there a direct corollary between the more people that are fully vaccinated, the less we're going to have to worry about those variants, or are those variants a completely separate thing?
So the likelihood of new variants showing up has to do with how widespread the virus is. So the more we can limit the spread of the virus, now we're talking about around the world because right. it can develop anywhere in the world, then the less likely new variants will pop up. In terms of the variants we know of, it seems like so far the vaccines are fairly effective against the variants. You know, there's some debate whether some of the, you know, vaccines are a little less effective against the variant than they were with the previous, you know, the previous variant, but still effective, right? What we don't know with the variants is that if you've had COVID before, how protected you are, because it appears that the vaccine itself provides better immunity against COVID than actually getting the disease itself.
Right.
So the variants may be more you may be more at risk because of the variants if you've had COVID of being reinfected. And by the way, masks are good at stopping any type of COVID at all, right, and slowing that down too. So that's why I kind of continue to emphasize the mask wearing part, because whatever variant it is, you know, the mask is a physical barrier, so it doesn't matter which variant it is, it's equally effective against all variants. So figuring if we can get the continue to vaccinate people, get a high enough percentage of people vaccinated, we continue to mask wear, I think that's a good place to try to also protect ourselves against variants. And if it turns out we do have a variant that we need a booster shot for the vaccine, then we can think about that. But so far, the variants we have right now that we're aware of doesn't seem like that's necessary. But, you know, don't, if you ask me 6 months from now, things may change.
Right.
But if we get everyone vaccinated and continue wearing the masks and we try to keep that transmission down, that will make it less likely new variants will show up.
All right. That is Dr. Richard Pan, joins us each and every week. Friday is now at 8:05. In addition to all the other work he does, go to drrichardpan.com. Also, Dr. Richard Pan on Twitter as well. Doc, what was that website again that you were starting?
Oh, it's ready to vaccinate.
Ready to vaccinate.
Yeah.
Okay. Ready to vaccinate. Okay. Is that a .com?
You know what? I should have the I didn't
you know
have
what?
It right in front of me. I think it's a .org or .com.
I'll put it out on the Twitter as well, Doc. We always okay. appreciate you and want to support, so thank you very much.
Sure. All okay. Right. Thanks very much,
all
Dave.
Right. Take care. That's Dr. Richard Pan. We will go to Javier on line one. Javier, good morning. Welcome in. How are you? No?
Javier, you there?
Javier.
Okay, Javier gave me like an earful for 5 minutes like he never gets on, and now is your time, Javier.
He gave you an earful? What'd he say?
We never let him on. He has to wait on hold sometimes for an hour.
Is he on hold a lot?
Not a lot.
Sometimes?
Calls Jason and Doug a lot.
Yeah, I'm talking about with us.
Javier, you got 30 seconds, dude.
I mean, so he was whining earlier about being on hold so long, and then we go to him.
Mm-hmm.
What, is he on the other line?
I have no idea what
he's
doing.
I mean, I'm trying to imagine what's going on. Obviously, probably a cell phone situation. Wouldn't you have us on speaker?
We gotta take a break.
All right, we'll take a break. Why you hung up on him?
That was nice.
Coming up next.
I would have just put him back on hold. That's all right. Look forward to talking to Javier.
You're such a nice guy.
Jason and Doug. Well, I was a caller. I get it. News with Ed Grain next, Once in a Blue Moon, and then we'll get what's on tap in the crossover. We got a lot to do, and we'll do it next.
If you want a unique angle on a topic that no one in their right mind would think of, you're in the right place. The Carmichael Dave Show returns now.
All right. Once in a Blue Moon coming up here in just a couple minutes. Little teaser for you. Has to do with last night's Kings Blazers game. And shockingly, won't be a positive stat about the Kings again. That's coming up with Once in a Blue Moon here in just a few minutes. Your guy Javier didn't call back.
He did or didn't?
Did not.
He didn't want it. You gotta want it, man. We try to make it easy. I'm not gonna put Dr. Pan on hold so I can talk to Javier. But, you know, I'll give him every opportunity. Cleaning up the text line, tried to get all your questions in. 916-339-1140. Dave, have you ever looked into having someone on who has a different viewpoint than Dr. Pan? No. What do you mean viewpoint? Get the vaccination. It's like, I mean, I'm not interested in entertaining any other viewpoints. And if that triggers you, do your own show. Get the vax. I want to go to a game. I want my kids back in school. I want businesses open. I want to go eat. Get the vaccination.
We know that's the real reason.
What, the eat?
You don't want to do takeout anymore.
You want actually, your restaurant. Actually, no, you know what? Listen, dude, COVID, is the not COVID, but the surroundings, the periphery of COVID affects everybody differently. I'm one of those people that has probably been affected less, not due to necessarily privilege or knock on wood, no sickness. I'm not talking about the hardcore real life things. I'm talking about I like having groceries delivered. I've gotten used to that. I'm not going back. I might occasionally go to the grocery store and pick out some fresh fruit or meat or an emergency dish I need.
Or Snickers.
I like takeout. I do miss eating at a sushi bar. I do miss going to a pizza place and doing the – I really miss – I won't say the name, but there's a couple of them that have – Their pizzas are rather expensive, mm-hmm. but if you take advantage of their lunch buffets.
I know exactly who you're talking about.
There's two I'm talking about.
I know at least one of them.
Yeah, I know you do. Yep, that's exactly right. I'm very much into that. So, you know, what do you want from me? That's the viewpoint. Get vaccinated. And if you don't get vaccinated and you don't have a legit exemption, I want nothing to do with you. I'm very transparent about that. You're a problem for me. So it's not a viewpoint. It's a way of thought. And hopefully all together, we're going to get back real, 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 real soon. Knock on wood. Right now, let's do this Once in a Blue Moon.
Once in a Blue Moon. Brought to you by Blue Moon Beer. Here's Jay Mars.
Hey, you kind of brought this up earlier, but let's expand it.
Let's.
Damian Lillard scored 44 points and committed no turnovers in the Blazers' win last night over the Kings. That's his fifth career 40-point game with zero turnovers. Tied for third most since individual turnovers were first tracked in 1977. Ugh. The two ahead of him. Anthony Davis, believe it or not, has six games like that. And Michael Jeffrey Jordan had 14 40-plus no turnover games.
Wow. Wow.
It's a good company to keep.
I mean, he just kills the Kings.
Yeah, King Killer Dame Lillard.
He really does.
I'm going to go ahead and say this. His chip on his shoulder against Sacramento for passing on him is misguided.
Misguided?
It's misguided.
Why?
Because Jeff Petrie, who made the pick for Sacramento, wanted Dame Lillard. This has been well established. He made the pick for Thomas Robinson because he felt like, you know, the Maloofs aren't going to give me amount of money to re-sign Jason Thompson, and I need to fill the power forward position with something cheap. This is well established.
The Kings passed on Damian Lillard for Thomas Robinson. The Kings had Lillard in for workouts.
Oh, I know.
He thought he was coming here.
I get it.
As much as a Kings fan, I hate watching Damian Lillard paste us. I'm like 100% here for it. It makes me like him more. Like, I understand manufactured chips. You know, Michael Jordan made a career off of manufacturing chips on his shoulder.
This one's kind of manufactured as well.
How is it manufactured? The Kings could have drafted him and didn't.
Because of the context of why. They didn't pass on Dame because they were like, this kid ain't going to be much. They passed on Dame because ownership was so bad that they didn't think they'd have enough money to re-sign Jason Thompson. I feel like that matters. Maybe not to Dame.
Wait, ownership was so bad they felt like they couldn't re-sign Jason Thompson, so they signed Thomas Robinson, or they drafted Thomas Robinson?
The idea was Jeff Petry didn't know if the Maloofs were going to fork over the money to re-sign Jason Thompson. He wanted to re-sign Jason Thompson. It was a team starting power forward, a pick they had invested in.
I gotcha. He was Jason Thompson insurance.
Correct.
Yeah, but you know what? Again, a guy like Jeff Petry knows this. When you're at that level, which is a bottom level, you draft for BPA. Not position.
I get it.
So you are besmirching the good name of Jeff Petry.
I'm not besmirching anybody's good name.
He made a terrible general manager.
No, I'm saying Jeff Petrie's hand was forced unfairly. I think Jeff Petry really wanted to bring Dame Lillard to Sacramento.
You find yourself wondering if the Kings had drafted Damian Lillard, how much would it have changed the track of the team?
Completely. 100%.
Think so?
Dude, I know there's the idea that, you know, certain guys won't develop in the Kings. And that's a very fair argument. I'm just saying I don't think Dame Lillard would have fallen to that. I'm saying if Dame Lillard had been drafted by Sacramento, I don't think Dame Lillard is still not an all-star.
I also feel like Damian Lillard specifically probably isn't trying to go to another team either.
Correct.
He's not a market hopper. And
well, that's very clear.
And I think the proximity, even closer than Portland to Oakland, I mean, hell, honest to God, you legitimately, Dame could have lived in Oakland and played here if he wanted.
Yeah, and he'd also would become the alpha on that team. And that's key. That's very important.
Either way, he keeps pasting us.
Yeah, no, back to reality.
Either way, we go into the All-Star break halfway through.
Think your guy's on line one again.
You want no, don't even screen it. Let's just see. Who's this?
Javier from Vacaville. How you doing?
Javier, you know, I went to you.
Did you? Because I didn't get anything, and then I hung up. I'm like, oh, okay, I guess I hung up on.
Dude, if you go back and listen to the replay, we actually had your line open for like we had your line open for like 4 minutes, and we were like, Javier.
To be honest, I'm getting the vaccine today, and the vaccine hospital made sure I'm coming at 1:15. But I literally was on hold for 35 minutes, man. I was just trying to get a few minutes. Like, you know, you guys have an interview replay right now. You guys have time to talk.
Javier, if I was interviewing a player right now, why would we be talking?
No, I'm saying, are you replaying an interview on the air?
On the air right now.
I thought you were on break, my man. Sorry about that. Anyway, no. So this is what I want to discuss. So you look at what you guys talked about previously. There's a situation where you guys were saying the Kings should be looking to unload Buddy Hield and Harrison Barnes to excess this $43 million or so. Well, let's understand something. The Kings currently have, you know, De'Aaron Fox increased by $20 million for his five-year extension. But they're also going to lose $20 million off the salary cap with Bielitsa, Parker, Whiteside, Joseph. That's an additional $28 million. And to say, well, we need to get rid of these two players. But for what? Like, do we have interest in Sacramento in regards to having other free agents say, I want to sign with that organization?
Javier, let me stop you because you're spitting out a ton of stuff and I can't have people crashing their cars. I'll let you finish the rest of what you're saying because it's boring. Let me stop you for a second. Let me address what you just said. Why is subjective. It that there's this what?
That's subjective, but I'm going to listen to you. I want to hear
that's what? Right.
Subjective.
It's not subjective. It's my job to figure out what is and isn't boring. When you're throwing out all kinds of numbers, Javier, and you're talking for like 30 minutes, people tune out. It's my job to make them not tune out. I'm going to give you a chance to finish, but let me address your point. Why is there this mental block with so many Kings fans when you look at money available and you're automatically thinking about free agency? Nobody said anything about free agency with that money, Javier. How do we get Chris Webber? Do we get him through free agency? Yes or no?
Mitch Richmond acquisitions trade.
Correct. It was a trade. How have we go back to 2002? You remember that team, right? With Bibby and all that. Bibby was a trade, okay, for Jason Williams. We acquired Chris Webber in a trade. We acquired Doug Christie for Corliss Williamson. We drafted Peja Stojakovic. We had one free agent signing in that starting lineup. You remember who that was?
The Peja Stojakovic draft?
No. On that 2002 starting team.
Yes.
There was one free agent acquisition that was a starter. Do you remember who that was?
Vlade Divac.
That is correct.
No, yes.
That is correct. So my point is, and it's not, I'm not picking on you, Javier. You're kind of an avatar for a lot of the fan base. I see this on Twitter all the time. Like, why are we getting all this room? We don't sign free agents. Like, yeah. but we trade for people, and that's what that room is ultimately almost certainly going to be for.
Understood. What I'm trying to make sure that's prevalent is that we might have the room to acquire a player to trade, but the problem that I have is if we're going to get rid of these, you know, for one, a perennial shooter from the perimeter, Buddy Hield, and a great starting caliber small forward in Harrison Barnes, let's not make sure that we have this notion that these players that we're going to shed salary for are going to be for somebody that we're going to more or less acquire through a draft pick. It needs to be, we need to get something back like of a star caliber player. And the notion is we're going to shed this talent, we're going to shed the salary to acquire somebody to trade. Okay, but it sounds as if the tone is we're just going to get rid of that salary to just have available salary. I don't know where you're hearing that.
Nobody that knows anything is saying we're just going to shed salary to save money or to hold on to it. That's if you're reading that, it's on Twitter or Reddit. Nobody who knows the team or understands what's happening thinks that. So quiet that down. That's not the case.
Okay. Well, what I'm saying is, at the end of the day, if De'Aaron Fox does not see progression in this team and to say we're going to be good in 2 or 3 years. De'Aaron Fox is going on year 4 without making the playoffs, and he's not built that way. He's a winner. And if we have no true direction in 2 years and there's no ample star outside of him and Halliburton on his roster in the next 12 to 18 months, I don't feel like De'Aaron Fox can be saying, you know what, I want to play here for the next 3.5 years knowing that we're a 31 team and we're playing for picks and assets instead of trying to acquire talent. And I know you're saying, yeah, they're going to more or less acquire a star through, you know, any type of trade, but that needs to be happening sooner rather than later to say, well, we're just going to let the chips fall where they may, because I don't see any organization that's ever let draft capital, picks, and assets be a way to have an NBA culture or any team show a winning franchise success in long in any type of longevity since. I mean, look at the Miami Heat.
And we're late. So just to wrap up, you're saying the Kings need to acquire star-type talent sooner rather than later.
No, what I'm saying is De'Aaron Fox is going to want to see if you're going to get rid of.
Dude, literally, I have 10 seconds. Javier, I have 10 seconds. You saying De'Aaron Fox is going to want out in 2 years is, again, to use your word, subjective. We don't know that, but I'll concede the point. You're saying don't just save the money to save the money. We need to hurry up and get a star to come here. Otherwise, he's going to leave.
If you're going to get rid of them three players, you need to acquire somebody of star caliber potential that can play like that. Yes.
That may not be an immediate move. You're not going to trade Harrison Barnes and Buddy Hield for a star player right now. That's not happening. But you may give yourself the tools to acquire a star player sometime over the next year and a half. That's how it's going to happen.
If you include picks of Buddy Hield and a Harrison Barnes and or Halliburton with a first or second and an additional first, you can go get Bradley Beal. And that's the truth.
You want to trade Halliburton and picks for Bradley Beal?
Name another star caliber player that you can get right now for a tall.
Okay. I'm just saying he has a home here. I'm happy to talk, but I feel we're like late. I just did a workout.
We're late.
Take a break.
Thank you.
Yeah! That was nice.
Coming up next.
All right, Javier, you're always well. I love going back. I wish we had more time. I would have kept talking to him. Truly. But
I'm not sure the listeners feel the same.
I mean,
I don't mind Javier having takes. It's just you can't tell Javier anything ever.
Trades for star talent profit. I agree with that. 100%.
Sure.
We'll be right back with What's on Tap and the Crossover right after this.
Yeah, let's go. Come on.
Uh-huh. It's What's on Tap. Here's what you need to know, what you need to watch, what you need to follow today. It's What's on Tap. Brought to you by...
You know, honestly, I don't even know anymore. Been a lot of mental gymnastics today, and I'll just kind of leave it at that. What's on tap? There it is. There's your sponsor. Mental gymnastics. Hey, the parallel bars, those uneven parallel bars, the floor exercise. Imagine doing that with your brain for 3 hours every day. You see how much a gymnast has to work and how tired they get. It's kind of how we feel sometimes with some of these things. So mental gymnastics, if I were you, I wouldn't get you any today. What's on tap, however? Not much. Of sports related. I mean, there's a great movie on tap tonight that I know me and you will both be enjoying in separate houses.
Coming to America. I'm hearing some early... I'm trying to avoid spoilers, but I'm hearing some early good reviews.
Perfect.
I sometimes that makes me feel worse.
I'm going into this movie with no expectations. I treated the Bill and Ted sequel that way, and I loved it. So I'm treating Coming to America the same way.
I like that. I like that a lot of people are agreeing that we should take less calls.
Listen, I've mentioned it's one of those, like, call-in radio is very old school. And again, I don't have any sort of dislike for Javier. It's just, it's okay to have an opinion and disagree. That's fine. But it's like, you make the blanket statement that's very easy to pick apart, that most people can pick apart. And it's like, you're just going to die on that island no matter what.
Honestly, I would have to say maybe my favorite part of the Javier call are the texts, and the one text in particular that says, Javier seems like the well-actually guy you have in your class.
Yes.
And you just want him to stop talking so they can end the class so you can go home and poop in peace.
Bro, that was literally that the last three minutes of that segment was exactly what that texter said is 100% correct.
Fine, everyone get off Javier. My favorite part of that text wasn't the content, though. It was that Javier is spelled H-A-U-V-E-A-R-R. H-A-U-V-E-A-I-R. Javier.
See, I have the texter's back, and then they do that.
Rarely
do I have a texter's back. That's why.
What's on tap? Nothing. There's nothing on tap, dude.
Wow, hate on the All-Star game. Okay.
I mean,
best basketball of the year.
Tonight?
No, Sunday.
Yeah. Okay. You've got the Arnold Palmer Invitational. I mean, there's some college basketball as we're getting ready to... Bracketology is in full swing. Did you see the All-Star teams?
Yes, I did.
LeBron's going to kick his ass.
Probably.
Oh my. LeBron's actually three. He's a really good drafter. He's 3-0.
LeBron got a saying. Is he going to come home to Cleveland one day?
Buy out
Dan Gilbert, the owner.
I think, yeah.
He's going to be the Jerry Jones of the Cavs.
I 100% could see LeBron trying to buy out Dan Gilbert and just loving the day that he does. Now, the question is Dan Gilbert going to sell to him?
Dan Gilbert is such a prideful, you know what? I think he wouldn't. I just want to see one day, you know, let's say Gilbert does sell to LeBron. I just want to see LeBron take out a full page article thanking Dan Gilbert in Comic Sans.
That was just the best.
I need that in my life.
LeBron James, Giannis Antetokounmpo, Steph Curry, Luka Doncic, Nikola Jokic. Those are his starters.
He'll be good.
Durant will be starting. Kyrie Irving, Bradley Beal, Jason Tatum, Joel Embiid, and Kawhi Leonard. They're going to get, if this was a real actual game, they would get throttled.
Think so?
Do you know how pretty, think about this. Do you know how pretty the basketball could be with LeBron, Doncic, and Jokic as your passing big men? You've got Antetokounmpo who can just go all over the place. He's obviously two-time reigning MVP. And then Steph Curry just drilling threes.
The passing might be too good on that team. Like no one, because not like Steph's a bad passer.
No. No.
They might just have 24-second violations the whole time because nobody can decide when to take a shot.
Nobody wants to. Bro, that's like Harlem Globetrotters type stuff.
I'm going to set you up. No.
No, you go. I mean, you're three bigs, and James, Doncic, and Jokic are what, three of the top four passing big men in the game? Top five?
I know you didn't mean to say it like that, but is James Doncic as good as Luka Doncic?
Did I say James? Oh, I see.
Here. No, you see. Doncic. I was like,
Jimmy Doncic is not as good.
Like, I feel like Jimmy Doncic was the guy that Rudy Rudiger replaced in that final play at Notre Dame in whatever year that was.
I mean, no offense to Kyrie. Listen, with Joel Embiid and Kawhi Leonard, I get it. They're going to be playing some defense. They're going to be, they're going to be a better defense. It's not like LeBron's got a defense.
In a real game, not in the All-Star game. There ain't no defense in the damn All-Star game.
So the reserves. Durant has Harden, Booker, Zion, Zach LaVine, Randall, and Vucevic, along with Donovan Mitchell. James has Dame, Simmons.
Jesus.
Chris Paul, Jaylen Brown, Paul George, DeMontis Sabonis, and Rudy Gobert.
Well, he's got guys that can knock you on your butt.
Did Kevin Durant is there a line on this? And is KD trying to throw it?
Are you saying KD is tanking the All-Star game?
Do you get like an extra pick?
Maybe.
Now here's the thing. Very well on Sunday, KD's team could win. Like, this is the All-Star game. I'm saying from a basketball point of view, those teams aren't even close. They're not close, dude. They're not even close. Good for that. UFC tomorrow night as well. Somebody wanted to throw in. You're right.
Are they doing the Elam rule this year, too?
I think they are.
With the Kobe 24-point thing?
They are.
Okay, cool.
I think they are.
That might make it worth watching.
Do we have a crossover?
We does.
Wow. Let's get to it right now. Crossover time.
And Doug Christie.
All right, hit that horn, babe. Let's dance.
Let's find out right now with the crossover. Here's today's crossover.
Well, CD and Jay Mars, Jay Johnson jumping in here to ask you guys the crossover. Great question, by the way, fellas. I love the CP3 top five. I don't believe he's a top five guy,
in my opinion. You're wrong.
So DC love and you. Jason, I stumped them a little bit yesterday. So they asked me to ask you guys the same question. So we played a little guessing game, fellas. I was watching MLB Network yesterday, and they were talking about the last 10 guys to hit over 50 home runs in a season. So it got me to thinking, man, I can't even think of the last 10 guys to hit over 50 home runs in a season. I'm pretty sure if I got stung, Jason and DC would. So I asked the guys, and I'm proposing the same question to you fellas. Can you name the last 10 players in baseball to hit over 50 home runs in a season? I'll give you a quick hint. The window begins from 2005 and ends in 2019. Fellas, name them.
See, that's where it's tough.
Prince Fielder has to be in there.
Because I'm like, okay, well, Bonds, George Foster.
George Foster.
Brady Anderson.
Okay, he said 05. Bonds retired 07, 08?
I don't know that he hit. Did he hit 50?
That's
in those
what
last
I'm trying. I can't
years?
Remember.
Let's just put Bonds in to be safe.
Okay. What about A-Fraud?
A-Rod, yes.
Manram?
Might be. I think so. Giancarlo Stanton for sure is in there.
Yeah.
Stanton.
How many did Pete Alonso have in his rookie year?
I want to say he was at 50 or 51. He was close.
Okay, let's put Pete Alonso.
Let's put Alonso in there.
I feel like Prince Fielder did it.
Fielder, definitely. Yeah, for sure. Stanton, Fielder. Oh, who's the kid with the Rangers? Did Gallo?
Did Nelson Cruz?
He might have. I'm putting Cruz and Gallo in.
Crush didn't, right? Crush was in the 40s twice.
Yeah. 50. I see texts.
There's going to be a couple like random names in there.
You said Alonzo. Nobody else in the Giants. Dodgers? No.
That's when it might have been Manny when he was in L.A.
Boston? Poppy? Did Poppy hit 50? I don't think so.
I feel like that's a big number for him, but he would make sense.
Poppy.
We're
putting everybody down. Let's see how many we get.
Harper's never got 50.
I don't think he has. Trout hasn't gotten 50.
No.
Blue Jays, Batista?
Oh, I think Joey Bats may have. Yeah. How many do you got down there?
2, 3, 4, 5, 7.
Miguel Cabrera?
Yeah, absolutely, Cabrera. Cabrera did for sure. Let me think. Houston. Do we have the answer?
I don't. We'll have to look it up in the break. But I think we've got some good guesses there.
What a letdown for everybody. By the way, I like how they – I love Jay.
Pujols.
Duh. Jay's my guy. I could take the questions from him every day. But you like how Jason and Doug were just like, can we get a sub? They just sub in poor Jay. Guys, crossover question. It's this simple. Over, under, 1.5. How many players from the Kings will be gone between now and the trade deadline? Over, under, 1.5. I'm talking about in a trade. For Jay, I'm Dave. Thanks to Dr. Richard Pan. Jim Rome is next. Have a great weekend. Bye-bye now.